You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, April 29th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app. You might be watching on YouTube or Facebook or catching us by podcast, but we appreciate you starting your day right here on this day, this special, special day, the 100th day of the Trump administration. I'll pause for applause here. I'll carry on. Yes. It's a milestone opportunity to outline the many ways that it turned out to be a not very good idea to elect a convicted criminal with a chip on his shoulder who is willing to take out his frustrations on every non-billionaire American. On the bright side, his attempts to meddle in Canada's election just backfired spectacularly, worthy of Wile E. Coyote. We'll talk about that during the day, as well as Governor Evers joining the parade of lawsuits looking for courts to remind Trump of the things he's not allowed to do. In this case, slash education funding for Wisconsin kids. Later, we get to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer starts his stint as a regular for us. The Civic Media political editor has this week's big stories to watch for. His site, the Recombobulation Area, also included recently a guest column by Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. And he talks to us about that, what the mayor put in his column, and the mayor tells us what he thinks Democrats need to change to win more elections in 2026. Sherita Booker outlines our most popular social media posts of the past week or so, including the high dollar value of really old cheese. Our community editor, Christina Laurie, will be along as well to talk a bit more about the successful NFL draft in Green Bay. Chad Holmes and Dan Hagen are here to tell us about stories they're following up north as well. Plus, Greg Bach at Radio Park and meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who tells us there's a brief break and a cool down here for the weather, then more rain before the week comes to an end. It was a stormy one last night, including a tornado that appeared to touch down briefly just south of Eau Claire. No significant damage reported anywhere. The state forecast for today calls for a few light showers in the morning up north and to the east. Breezy and cool today with skies clearing throughout the day. Highs will be near 50 up north to near 60 in the southern part of the state. A northwest wind diminishing from 20 miles an hour down to about 10. Then by tonight, mostly clear and chilly. Frost is likely up north. Lows up here around 30 degrees. Upper 30s in the southern part of the state. Winds will be light and out of the northwest. Along the way, feel free to join us here by phone, by text, or the comment sections out there on the interwebs. Our phone number and the text line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Again, you can call or text from the Civic Media app, or you can put a comment down on the Facebook or YouTube pages of Up North News or Civic Media. You can also email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. There's just so much stuff that I just listed there, Greg Bach. This three-hour thing has got us so busy.
We are like the busiest boys in radio.
Aren't we, though? I mean, look at this. There's so much stuff here.
So much happening.
And yet, we managed to pull it off day after day.
You know, I mean, I don't use the word heroes a lot, but but call it what you... I mean,
others would say.
I'll accept a parade.
Yes, I mean, by all means, we're very happy with that. So we'll cover all of that ground today. I know what I wanted to ask you. I did not have time before the news. We had a little tech issue here, so I just pulled up the map of temperatures across Wisconsin. What does the temperature say down there at Radio Park in Racine?
right now, weather reads as, let me take a look here. 74, mostly cloudy, feels like 78 with a high of 71 and a low of 40.
That is exactly what I'm looking at on this map. It says 75 in Kenosha.
Yeah.
In Superior, it's 37.
Yeah.
When it's 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s are all here.
When I went to bed last night, it was 79 degrees.
Wow.
I had to open the windows. I had to turn the fan on. And what I didn't realize is that the heat managed to be turned on as well. So, like, I woke up, like, my, like, if you can see, my hair is, like, wavy, curly.
Yes.
Because of the humidity and all this stuff. And I just did not sleep well. I think, I think a nap is in Greg's future.
Ooh. See, now I'm now at an age where that sounds enticing. Remember once upon a time, you were like, no, Mom, I don't want to take a nap. Oh. I want to do whatever I want. You know what I want to do now? I want to take a nap.
Yeah. I always look at kids when they get all squirrely. I'm like, child, you will appreciate the day.
Yes, we will. It's so like I said, it's 43 in Hayward right now, and in Amory, it is 46 degrees here in the Chippewa Valley, 50 in Wausau, 50 in Rapids. Green Bay is at 61 right now, Madison 64, and it's 72 in Milwaukee. It's 48 in La Crosse. Like I said, just a crazy range of temperatures across the state at this hour. On our website over at upnorthnewswi.com, let's see, stories that we're following there. Donald Trump has ended a program to encourage and recognize schools that pollute less and are more energy efficient. Fortunately, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction is stepping up to fill some of the void. In our newsletter today, put together by Christina Laurie, and again, we'll talk to her a little bit later on, but it is pollinator time. We have all of our crops and flowers that are dependent upon the little buggers who are in peril because of human encroachment and a changing climate. We can't necessarily change those things, but there are things we can do a little differently that put us in a more responsible position in that whole circle of life thing. There are things you can plant. There are things you could do a little less of, and it's all outlined in our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. So to get to the headlines here, and then Sherita Booker will join us in less than 10 minutes now. The 51st state, Canada, has said, we don't want to hear that nickname anymore. We're kind of done with that. We're done with the jokes. When snap elections were called in Canada a few weeks back, it seemed like conservatives were poised to take power. Donald Trump had just taken office. It felt like there was this kind of red wave sweeping across. And then Trump took office and started talking smack about Canada, started a trade war. And next thing you know, we have surprising results out of Canada. A stunning turnaround for Prime Minister Mark Carney's Liberal Party that won Monday's federal elections, primarily out of promises to continue to confront Donald Trump over the trade war and jokes about annexation. It may not quite be a full majority in Parliament for the Liberals, but they certainly could cobble together with some of the smaller parties to pass some legislation. And again, the person that you have to thank for that up in Canada is Donald Trump. This is not unlike what happened during his first go-round in the White House, where, again, he won the election that put him in office. He then proceeded to lose the House, proceeded to lose the Senate in special election after special election and in the midterms. And it seems to be happening on its way to happening yet again, as the guy's in office, he can do whatever he wants for himself, but he has a tendency to drag people down with him, which takes us to Derek Van Orden, who yesterday got the formal endorsement of Donald Trump on the Truth Social. Greg Bach giving us the two thumbs up there. I mean, why even hold the election? What that is Donald Trump looking at his polls and flailing and grabbing anything. And sometimes what you grab, you pull down with you. And Derek Van Orden might be one of them. Somebody who is seen to be in such a swing district and in such trouble that he was looking for the Trump endorsement early. Something to wave around and say, see, we're still joined at the hip, which is not necessarily what Wisconsin voters look for.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I'm not saying that. Well, I think Derek Van Orden is unpopular, not as unpopular as Trump, but he's sinking slightly less than Trump, so it's not much of a reach. And also, like, I don't want this to happen, but there's part of me based on the Susan Crawford situation. I'm like, hey, Elon, you want to try to put a bunch of money into this one too? Come on, let's see what happens.
It was just, it was really something to see this post come up. I thought, well, maybe it's, you know, again, a prank or something, but no, it's here where Derek is working hard to champion our great farmers and American agriculture. No. Let's see. Strengthen our incredible military. I don't know. We've laid off a bunch of veterans from the VA. Derek Van Orden has my complete and total endorsement for reelection. He will never let you down. That kissing sound you hear could be the old kiss of death.
Man, sorry, folks. I'm stretching right now because Papa Bear's tired. But I read that yesterday and I just said to myself, I'm like, God, I kind of felt bad for Derek. Because it doesn't really, I don't think it helps. I mean, anyone who supports Derek Van Orden supports President. I don't see a lot of people like, well, I'm a fair-minded liberal Democrat who really likes Derek Van Orden. I feel like if you endorse Van Orden, you're endorsing Trump and vice versa. So him endorsing isn't a huge shock, but I also, you know, maybe Derek Van Orden's like, hey, just turn off the house lights. Just try to hide behind the couch. We'll just pretend this one time.
Yes, but no. And again, still a long ways to go. So the fact that they feel the need to do that endorsement now is rather telling. Now, as I wrote in the Sunday morning newsletter about this week marking Trump's 100 days in office, here's the thing I want to be fair about. This whole notion of what became Doge, it started with good intentions. Here's the line that Donald Trump told the New York Economic Club last September. He said, quote, I will create a government efficiency commission tasked with conducting a complete financial performance and audit of the entire federal government and making recommendations for drastic reforms. Now, I want to read that again because Joe Biden could say that, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, any Republican, any Democrat could say these words that are clearly written by a speechwriter. I will create a government efficiency commission tasked with conducting a complete financial performance and audit of the entire federal government and making recommendations for drastic reforms. People heard that. We're like, okay, sounds good. Now, everything I'm about to tell you should have the sound effect of Krusty the Clown or Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake, okay? Because, yes, we all can say there are things you'd consider wasteful spending, but veterans' health care? Healthy food for low-income families, public health, libraries, school lunches, farmland conservation, lower utility bills, jobs at the National Weather Service, cancer research, humanitarian aid, suspending FDA testing on milk. All of this has made it clear that this was never about going after truly wasteful spending. This was about cuts for the sake of cuts to pay for billionaire tax cuts. And Americans are tired of it. Sherita Booker is up next from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissona. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Joined now by Sherita Booker, social media manager here at Up North News. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Let's take a look at some of the posts that are getting lots of traffic in recent days here. One of them was put up by our parent company, Courier Newsroom, as well as Up North News, all about Governor Tony Evers, his partial veto powers, and the, shall we say, multi-century amount of school funding increases that that partial veto allowed for. Tell the folks a bit more about that and some of the reaction to it.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court recently ruled that Governor Evers' veto from last year is totally legal, and it locks in more money for schools for the next 400 years. So in a 2023 budget, lawmakers approved a $325 per student funding bump for just two school years. But Evers cleverly used his partial veto power to strike a few characters, changing the expiration year from 2024-25 to just plain 2425. That means Wisconsin public schools are set to keep that funding boost until the year 2425. And that post had almost 50,000 likes on our Instagram. Pat James said, "Love this, using the authority Republicans gave to themselves against them." And Izzy said, "The people of Wisconsin, don't we all love Governor Evers? He's a legend."
We've gotten rid of the so-called Vanna White veto, where you can strike individual letters to create new words. We got rid of the version called the Frankenstein veto, where you could strike out words and form entirely new sentences. But there isn't anything like that for individual digits and characters in a bill. If that's proposed, here's the thing. I think whoever supports or opposes it, it will probably depend on whether they have their person in the governor's office. And that's a very cynical thing to say, Sharita, but I'm willing to put a little money on it that your feeling about the veto depends on whether you're wielding the pen or not.
I 100% agree.
So the other post from the political realm that got a lot of attention happened last week on Earth Day. And all we did was point out what the White House put up on their website with a headline that said, "On Earth Day, we finally have a president who follows science." Sharita, a lot of folks had thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, that post is totally contradicting, considering that over the past 4 months alone, the administration has pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement again, approved logging in national forests, and ramped up coal mining across the country, on top of other things. That post had more than 700 likes on our Facebook and almost 2,000 on our Instagram. And Elizabeth Kelly said, in his defense, to him, a baking soda volcano is good science. And Gareth Jones said, "follows," in quotes, as in lags behind. In his case, miles behind.
I'll tell you what, this is, at first I really did think it was The Onion when it was coming up. And this was one, and again, look, a lot of the stuff that Trump and the administration does is designed exactly for this, okay? It's meant to distract, and you're chuckling and everything else, and you're not thinking about the things that actually impact the economy and impact people's bank accounts and their future hopes and dreams for childcare, to buy a home, all of that. But we're going to walk and chew gum here, and we're going to continue to point out those things, even as we mention the ridiculousness of a post like that. And finally, let's go with Wisconsin food. And there's nothing quite like Wisconsin cheese. I mean, it's delicious. It's prevalent. But in some cases, it's also really valuable, Sharita.
Wisconsin's Hook's Cheese Company dropped a 20-year-aged cheddar for $209 a pound. And it's an ultra-rare, ultra-aged cheddar that is only available for the fourth time ever, and you can get it online or at
Fromage Nation. We're going to give the whole fromage a treatment to it. Yeah,
but only while supplies last.
What did folks say about that?
Sydney said, "Have gotten it twice. It's amazing cheese. If you are able to splurge on it just once, I recommend." And John McKevitt said, "Carr Valley's 15-year-old cheddar is the best I've ever tasted. I can't wait to try this." And Karen Damari said, "Hey, it takes 20 years to get it to market." And Sandy Porknow said, "I was lucky enough to enjoy this last release. Oh my gosh."
It's true. And it's true. And look, again, young Pat would have been like, "Oh, whatever. It's old cheese. So what?" And at some point, I think it was a hooks. I don't know if it was a 10, a 15, may have been a 20, where you just get a taste of it and you go, holy cow, this is what people are making a fuss about. And it's not just cheese. I may have mentioned before that the best birthday present I got on my 50th birthday over a decade ago now was when my good friend, who loves bourbon as much as I do, brought over some Pappy Van Winkle. I mean, the top of the line stuff. And at first I was like, is he giving me a bottle of Pappy? And he's like, no, settle down, cowboy. I'm bringing you a shot. And he poured, you know, just an ounce worth. And it was just the best tasting thing if you are a bourbon drinker. Same goes for these cheeses and these aged cheeses. I know other people feel this way about wine or, you know, other food or beverages. I don't know if you have something like that. Like if you've got the money to splurge, you would do it.
Actually, I can't lie. I've paid a couple hundred for a bottle of tequila before. So,
wow. I'm not going to judge on that because, I didn't learn this till later in life. Tequilas and rums, good examples. Welcome to Liquor Talk here, folks, early in the morning. Tequilas and rums, the stuff that we normally associate that you can get at the corner bar. No. We're talking about the stuff that is aged for many, many years, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And it's much more, in the case of the rum, it's darker and smoother. And the tequila, the same, is just so much smoother that, yeah, if that's something you are willing to splurge on, you should absolutely go for it. And I have a feeling you do not regret that purchase.
Absolutely not. It was something I could sip on, didn't have to throw it back, and it lasted a while. So it was well worth the money.
For that story and so much more, check us out on social media. And Sherita Booker does it all, our social media manager at Up North News. Thanks, Sherita, very much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Back with more after this. Welcome back. Coming up tomorrow, how is lead paint in Milwaukee schools still a thing? I will tell you. A Republican-controlled legislature that has been underfunding all schools for years and years and has told Milwaukee kids at risk of lead poisoning, tough luck. Tomorrow we will talk to Jennifer Hofschulte from the Wisconsin Public Education Network in our homeroom segment about the ongoing effort to change all that. Also tomorrow, a new bill raises this question. Should Wisconsin utilities get an advantage when it comes to new transmission line projects, or does that stifle competition? All that and more tomorrow here on the program. But right now, we are joined by Christina Laurie, our community editor, who puts together our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. You heard a lot about the NFL draft yesterday from Kristen Lyerly and from Selena Heller, who was out there. There was one thing we didn't really get to. That was the players that the Packers picked. And so Christina Laurie is here to set us on the right track. Christina, hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? It's no wonder that the players kind of got second billing this time around, because it's been 80 years since our state last hosted a draft.
Yes. And it was a big party, and it was a big success by all accounts. Again, not everybody wants to stand around in a parking lot and listen to whatever it was, 257 names picked. But for the festivities themselves and for the number of people who showed up, this was a pretty cool thing.
It was. And actually, okay, so you mentioned no one wants to sit around and wait for 257 picks.
Well, not everybody.
Actually, yeah. Well, actually, one player was super patient. The Packers' third round draft pick.
I love this story.
Yes. So he actually didn't even get an invite to the draft in mm-hmm. the first place. His name is Baron Sorrell, and he just came anyway. And good thing he did, because while he sat alone on day three in the green room, the Texas defensive lineman not only heard his name called, but he had it called by the Packers. And he got to walk out on stage in front of his future home crowd of fans. Roger Goodell went back on the stage to call his name. And if you have not seen this video, please watch it. And
it's
if
great.
You do not tear up, you yes. must not have a heart.
I was out
bear hug that they
I was out doing yard work at the time, and I'd come in for a break, you know, get some ice water or whatever. You know, I had the draft on just in the background, wanted to see what all was going on. And Green Bay is about to pick. I'll wait and see who they get. First, was very surprised that the commissioner came up to the podium kind of in street clothes, basically, and then called the Packers pick. And I loved how he said at the podium, and he's here with us today. And he was the only guy left in the green room and was welcomed as an absolute hero. So it was just all the best circumstances for him to come in. So it really was, you know, a great story. No different than the Packers' first pick. Also, just great stories for the Packer fans who gathered there.
Well, and you also juxtapose it against players like Shedeur Sanders, who could not have been more cocky this right. whole weekend. So you'd rather have the Packers' picks. And their first-round guy, the Packers just... we know they've already picked right, because immediately in his first conference for the Packers, he explained how he plans to use his signing bonus. And, you know, a lot of players will, I've heard players, you know, buying their parents a car or maybe buying their parents, you know, the watch they always wanted. Mm-hmm. Matthew Golden wants to buy his grandma's house back. She lost her property a couple of years ago. It was someplace, he was almost in tears describing this. He called it the place where he grew up. He has his greatest memories there. And as luck would have it, it's on the market right now. So he's going to buy that house back for his grandma. And I don't know what else to say. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. That in the heat of the moment, the greatest moment of Matthew Golden's life, he made the story about his family and not himself.
You know, one of the things I really liked about how ESPN and ABC covered the draft was with all of the players that for whom they had video, which of course was everybody in the first couple rounds, but even some afterwards as well. Almost every video within the first 10 seconds or so showed the parents and put their names up on the screen and had them talking about their parents. It was as if somebody said for the draft coverage, somebody get me somebody from Mayberry RFD. What can we do to make this as American as possible? And what I mean by that, Christina, is that in a couple of different cases, these parents were immigrants to America and they had created, you know, a life for themselves, and their son was just drafted into the National Football League. If that didn't give you goosebumps about the great American melting pot, especially in this day and age, I don't know what will. I loved that the parents were played up and the grandparents at times as well.
And I love these videos that are coming back. This is like one of the positive things of social media, because now we're seeing all week long, a lot of colleges are sharing videos of their players answering the call to mm-hmm. hear who they got drafted from. And Wisconsin, so they have their safety for the past 4 years is this guy named Hunter Wohler. He grew up less than 15 minutes from Camp Randall, a lifelong Badger fan. He was scouted by a bunch of teams super early, and he committed to Wisconsin, I think his sophomore year of high school, because he said for him, that is it. That is the pinnacle. He's like the ultimate Wisconsin guy. And then to get to hear his name called, he was a, you know, third day draft pick, but he's on an NFL team, and he got to hear his name called by the Colts, which is great news. You know, Wisconsin fans will know that he gets to reunite with Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in the game. Yep. So that will be fun. But when you talk about emotions and thanking parents, do yourself a favor and just go on the Wisconsin football's social media pages. They've shared this video everywhere, but it's Hunter answering the phone call. And once he hangs up, he's surrounded by his family, and he just goes, Colts. And that's all he can get out before he starts crying and his family comes in for a hug. And I'm even tearing up telling you this, because it's incredible. It takes truly not just a team, but on the field, but a team at home to get these players where they are. And that's, you know, it's about more than just sports.
Can I go off topic for a moment? I'll come back to the draft, but about the draft and all of these young men not knowing necessarily what team they're going to, except for the ones at the very top. And even then, sometimes that's not guaranteed, are waiting to hear the name. It reminds me that being married to a physician, and I'm sure I'll talk to Lyerly about this on Friday as well, medical students have something called match day, where they pick the residency programs they want to go to after all the interviews, and the residency programs, they rank the med students that they would like to take on as residents. And then a computer, you know, figures it all out, puts all the names in envelopes, and on, is it, I think it's March 30th or something like that, all these med students everywhere gather together on match day at their med schools. They open up the envelope and they find out where they matched at. And so between that and the NFL draft, wouldn't it be something if more of us had something like that? Like, you know, if everybody who was changing jobs had to change jobs at like a certain time a year, and on that day, everybody opens up the envelope and finds out where their next job, where do you match at? That would be interesting. I wish more people had a chance to experience that.
Well, I don't know if it was like this when you were in college, and I ended up not being part of the Greek system. But for universities where the Greek system is a big thing, they have something similar called bid day, at least for the girls and sororities, where mm-hmm. they all have their envelopes in their hands of like what sorority they're going to join, and they all open them at the exact same time, and then they run off to whatever house it is. Greek life was a very big thing. I went to the University of Illinois. So like this was like thousands and thousands of girls all in one place, and then they'd run off to their thing. So that was kind of, that's a lower stakes version. I would say that the NFL's version of this is the best because they're also finding out that they're making thousands and thousands of dollars. Medical students, they're getting to find out where they're going to have the opportunity to spend their own money.
Yes, and go deeper into debt until your residency is all done. It does occur to me that I have actually done a version of this called election night, where I matched once and did not match two other times. And trust me, matching is a lot better than not matching. But let us get back to the draft here. So we've talked about two of the Packers draft picks. We talked about the first round and the third round. What else struck you from everything that went on in and around Lambeau Field?
Well, what was funny is that there's obviously like a lot of interdivision just smack talk that always happens between Detroit and Green Bay, you know,
and Chicago. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we've talked before, you know, about like the Upers, like, are they more Packers fans or are they more Lions fans? So that rivalry in particular is really deep rooted, even more so because Detroit hosted this draft last year, and their newspaper, the Detroit Free Press, just had a field day trying to like keep every headline they wrote was just about how the draft is, you know, second to Detroit, not as big of crowds. You know, their main headline was Green Bay falls way short of Detroit's NFL draft attendance for round one. You know, Detroit had 275,000. Packers only had 205,000. But only. I want to get the facts straight here. First of all, Green Bay never promised to host the biggest draft. They promised to host the best draft. And after watching that, I'm not sure you could have any questions that there was a whole lot of heart in our draft. Also, Detroit's population is 633,000 people. Green Bay's is 106,000. So they more than doubled the capacity of their city on a single day. All weekend, they increased it by six times the amount. So if Detroit wants to say they won, they're going to have to show us the numbers that they pulled in 1.2 million people to be anywhere close.
Let's see the multiples here, Detroit. You know that you can't pull that off, but you know.
Let's see the Super Bowl rings.
Yes.
Show us.
Yeah. Whatever makes you feel better. We're very content with what we were able to pull off here. It was a lot of fun. It may not be back here for a while, so everybody definitely made the most of it, and now we can look forward to how our picks do and the rest of the team goes as we get that much closer to training camp and then the season opener. Christina Laurie, thank you so much for helping us revisit a great weekend, and we'll look for the stories that you're doing, including your sports newsletter, which is now a monthly regular thing, right?
Yes, please sign up for it, because I was going to say, even if you missed this year's draft, there's plenty of reasons to plan a visit to Green Bay coming up. I will be talking about that in a few future editions that I have in the works, but it's a very low impact newsletter. We only send it out once a month, so we're not going to be inundating your inbox. It's a good way if you've never signed up for a newsletter before, if you just want to like dapple and you don't want to add to your reading list. We just send it on the last Saturday every month. It's going to include three feel-good stories. You don't have to have a bunch of background sports knowledge to enjoy them either. So please go to our website and sign up. All you do is just on our homepage at the top. There's a
hit
link.
Subscribe right there at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
One more note on this being the 100th day of the Trump administration before we take a break here, that on the 99th day, Governor Tony Evers announced that Wisconsin has joined another lawsuit to prevent the Trump administration from doing something they ain't supposed to be doing, in this case, cutting more than $500 million in federal funding from the U.S. Department of Education, saying that essentially this is spending that was passed by Congress and, as was shown during the Nixon administration, White Houses are not able to cut the spending that Congress approved of. Now, this particular Congress wants to roll over and play dead and not exercise its oversight, but Evers and governors of 18 other states want courts to remind the president of what he can and cannot do. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 up in Rhinelander will join us for today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One of life's great injustices is that Tammy Terrell was taken from us way too early at the age of 24 from a brain tumor. And yet in her short life, she was born this day in 1945, she did these songs with Marvin Gaye. Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, You're All I Need. Just an immense talent who we lost in 1970. But Tammy Terrell, born this day 80 years ago. And then there's Willie Nelson. It's his birthday today as part of today's history lesson. Let's bring in Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. Mr. Hagen, how are you?
I'm well. I thought you guys' eyes looked a little bloodshot this morning, but, you know, Willie Nelson's birthday, so it makes sense.
And this is a guy who, yeah, maybe you associate with bloodshot eyes, but his nickname is Blue Eyes because of this particular song that we're playing in honor of Willie Nelson's birthday.
In twilight,
oh God, that voice.
I see blue eyes cry in rain.
So we know that through use of substances for medicinal purposes,
and medicinal purposes only.
Yes, Willie Nelson is still with us. Do you happen to know, Mr. Hagen, how old Willie Nelson is today?
Oh, he's got to be 92.
Wow! Look at this. I tell
is that
you,
right?
92 years old today, Willie Nelson.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Just a guess.
Yeah. Let's see. More people born on this day who are not with us anymore. Composer Duke Ellington, born this day in 1899. Carl Gardner, the lead singer of the Coasters, born this day in 1928. Dale Earnhardt was born this day in 1951 and, of course, lost way too early at the age of 49. Leslie Jordan, actor you might remember from Will and Grace, born this day in 1955. I was waiting for you to tell me something about Leslie Jordan.
I can actually tell you something. So he was on a TV show before when he died called Call Me Cat with Mayim Bialik, and the episode they did after he died was one of the most emotional pieces of television I've ever watched in my life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They were weeping on the show.
Oh, funny guy.
Beautiful man.
Yep. So Willie Nelson is 92 today. Dwayne Allen is 82. He is the lead singer of the Oak Ridge Boys.
I love the Oak Ridge Boys. They always sing like this.
They have their own style. Yeah. Yes, they do. Jerry Seinfeld is 71 years old today. Kate Mulgrew is 70. Daniel Day-Lewis is 68. Michelle Pfeiffer is 67. And you know who else is 67 today? Jan Brady. Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch is 67 today. Today,
can
Tommy J. Yes?
Where we look up in the squares, you know, and look to
the
left.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Looking down now, right? If you're watching on social media, yeah.
Wait, it's Eve Plum's birthday. She was Jan Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong button.
Sure, Jan.
Okay, so I just wanted to play that. Yeah.
Carrying on now, singer Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells is 77 years old today. If anybody younger than me goes, wait, is this the Tiffany song? I'm going to be unhappy with you.
Hey, Dan, have you ever heard of Tiffany?
No. Don't do that.
No one's saying that.
You don't want to start this today.
We'd have to be in a mid-range between us and Dan over here. Andre Agassi is 55 years old today. So is Uma Thurman, born the same day in 1970. 55. Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips, born to the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson and his first wife. Carney Wilson is 57 today. And let's see, two more historical notes. Does anybody you know drive an Oldsmobile? Do you still see any Oldsmobiles on the streets of Rhinelander?
I saw one town car the other day, but no Oldsmobiles.
That'd be Lincoln. Yeah, Oldsmobile, the last one was built this day in 2004, ending 107 years of vehicle production. And then finally, this day in 2011, so 14 years ago, was the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton. Took place at Westminster Abbey. That was a big deal 14 years ago. Did that resonate as TV watching for you, Dan?
Absolutely. Like all my friends, and I can't remember what year did you say it was?
2011.
2011, yeah. So I would have been, you know, 16 years old. People were watching it. I was trying to crack jokes because that's how I coped with anxiety at that time. But, you know, I still do it. So
I'm guessing if you were 16, you noticed the bride, Kate Middleton, but also her sister Pippa. Remember, Pippa was all the rage of the wedding.
Yeah.
That's right.
Who is that?
We wish.
I remember some adolescent arguments about Pippa or Kate. Okay, I'm not proud of it. But,
it is. Hey, everybody has their Ginger versus Marianne or Betty versus Veronica.
There's always modern, Marianne.
Yep. Monica versus Rachel. Yes, we know. This is National Supply Chain Day.
Great.
You're not going to hear that one at the White House. And finally, this is National Zipper Day. It marks the first patent for a hookless fastener that was submitted by a Swedish-American electrical engineer who is credited with designing the modern zipper. It was for modern technology of 1913, that was a super big deal. Dan Hagen's going to stick around and tell us what kind of things he's working on for Newswatch 12 up in Rhinelander, but let's at least get to, we haven't talked to you about this since much earlier this month. The Hodag Dome had deflated right before Election Day. Is that still in progress, trying to get that dome reinflated?
That's right. And, you know, to provide some context, this is a really important item for the community. It's been around for, you know, maybe 4 years, and people use it for walking. You know, older folks use it for walking.
Yep.
The local sports teams use it. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we get a lot of tournaments. So those were neglected as well, but it's in the process of being built. It should be back by the end of May.
Let's come back and talk more about that and other stories. Also in our next hour, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich on what Democrats need to fix if they want to win more elections. All ahead here as part of
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.